Open your Bibles two places this morning, if you would. Psalms chapter 91, Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to preach about this thought this morning. How should I react to this coronavirus that's going around? What should our attitude be? How should we deal with it? And I want us to look at a couple of things this morning, and I want you to think about it. There's a couple kinds of faith, that things we call faith, that we need to understand. First of all, there is a faith that we have in this physical world. Things that we have confidence in that's going to happen. We walk over to the light switch. We have confidence that the light's going to go off and on when we flip the switch. Well, sometimes that's not true, but most time it is. And so therefore we have gained confidence in believing to flip the switch, we have a light. When we drive across this bridge leaving church, we have confidence and a faith, hopefully, that it will hold us up. It's held up for all these years, and hopefully the people who designed it knew what they were doing. And hopefully it will continue to hold us up for many more years. Now, most of the time, that's going to be true. Now, every now and then, you might have a bridge somewhere collapse. But every time I drive across a bridge, I don't hold my breath. I have confidence in the people that did it. When I go and get in a car, sometimes I expect it to start. I have some cars that I don't expect to start. I'm sometimes shocked when they do continue it. But also when I go to the pharmacy, I call in a medication and I assume and I trust and I have confidence that the people filling my prescription is doing it with the right medication. What we've been told about this virus is, I looked at it a little bit, and I'm not going to go into a lot because it's way out of my category. But from what I understand the virus is, we don't know exactly some things about it, but we know typically a virus reacts to warm weather. So hopefully, if nothing else in warm weather, we will see this thing begin to subside. The other thing is, we have been told that if we will use common sense suggestions and practices, try to keep from gathering together for a few weeks, let the virus pass through and have time to come up with a vaccine for it, that hopefully we can conquer and get on top of a lot of what's going on and the hysteria that's going on. And so therefore, what would be wise to do is give it a chance. And some of these countries that we're seeing a decline in it, that was devastated by it, is doing it by isolating and not meeting. And so that's why the suggestion has been made. Some people asked me this morning, we were talking about it over there. Several of the people there said, well, we've done canceled our churches. Until the governor says for us to meet again, we're not going to meet again in church. And they asked me what we were going to do. I said, we're going to continue to meet. And so I think a lot of stuff is being blown out of proportion. I think there's a lot of viruses that's dangerous. This is evidently very dangerous when you get it. And if we don't take some of those precautions, then we might have a great epidemic here in the nation. So why not take a couple weeks and try to be wise in that? But we also have to understand, do we walk by fear or do we walk by faith? Where do we go? What do we do? There's a physical faith, as I said, and I have faith and confidence that hopefully the president, he's got a group of people around him and they seem to be making some sound decisions and they seem to be on top of some things that they're doing. And so they're far above my pay grade, so I'm listening to advice that they're taking and trying to do it. But real faith is believing in something, a substance that you cannot see. Things that are beyond you. And so this morning I want to share with you a thought about how should we as people of faith react. Now let me say this before I get into this. I think we ought to have a common sense approach. When we get a chance and opportunity to wash our hands, we ought to wash our hands a little more thoroughly than what we've been washing them. We ought to do some of the things that they've recommended. I don't have any problem with that. But turn in your Bibles, keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 11, turn over to Psalms chapter 91. In Psalms chapter 91, we find the word pestilence. Pestilence is exactly what this virus is a pestilence. We are faced with many pestilence. This is not the only pestilence we've ever faced. I've never seen the world react to a virus like they've reacted to this one. Of course, I think what happened was China was probably let it get out of control before they wanted to really advertise that they was dealing with it and ask for help in dealing with it, and it would become an epidemic around the world. But let me say this. We, as God's people, have someone sits in a much higher position than any of these other physicians, scientists, whatever it may be. The Bible says in Psalms 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I" what? Now, folks, listen. You're going to have to decide if you're going to live every day of your life sheltered, going out and fighting over a roll of toilet paper. Tim said he went to the store the other day. Two men was fighting over toilet paper. One guy threw it at the other one. It landed in his cart. He said, "Thank you," and he just kept rolling on. And so he got to bring the toilet paper home. Folks, somebody said, "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to trust in the Lord. Perfect peace has he whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in the Lord." Folks, we have the Lord. You say, "Well, what if you catch it and die?" Then I have heaven. I don't have to be threatened with heaven. Heaven is not something. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to die." Well, I really don't want to die either, but I'm sure when I die, I'll be glad that I did. But right now, you know, I'm not going to go out there and jump in the middle of a bunch of people that's got the virus, coughing and hacking all over me. I'm not going to do something like that. Neither am I going to walk up there on 27, catch a tractor and trailer going down the road and step in front of it. But I'm going to trust in the Lord. Look on. Verse number 3. "He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." God has a way and ability to deliver you from any pestilence that's around. Look in verse 4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness." In other words, pestilence you don't know anything about. "Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. As a matter of fact, if you all remember, that's the verse that the devil quoted Jesus in the wilderness when he was being tempted. Verse number 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Folks, we that are the Lord's, we that are saved, we have a refuge. We have someone that we can call upon in any time of trouble, national trouble, personal trouble, family trouble, whatever it may be. I could sit and I could share with you several things. Kelly back there gave a testimony last Sunday night that just touched my heart to listen to him give the testimony how that God had worked through bringing the baby into their family. That's an answered prayer. That's God. God is still on the throne, folks. He's able to protect us. But there's nothing wrong with being precautious. And by the way, you elderly people, I want you to know this. It's not good for you all to mingle in a lot large crowds right now. If you need someone to pick up your groceries, you need someone to go get you something, call us and we'll make sure and we'll do that for you. But let's get back on this a minute, and I want you to think about faith. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 11, chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse number 6, note this. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so therefore it's faith that we, in other words, the word of God tells us something that we don't understand how he'll do it. We don't understand where he'll do it. We just have to believe that he'll do it. Amen? Look in verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, you come seeking God in a matter, and he rewards you because you're coming to him, and you're not looking to everybody else in the world to answer your questions. You trusting in him. Amen? Look in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, let me share a couple things with you about what faith is not before I get into what faith is. Number one, faith is not what these wealth and health preachers out here, these prosperity preachers on TV, is proclaiming. What they do is they act like they have the ability to manipulate God, to make him do whatever they want to. You send them some of your money, and then they're going to manipulate God to give you 10 times what you give. That's a bunch of baloney. That's getting them rich, and they're doing it for love of money. But don't buy into that. That's not faith. They'll say, oh, just sow seed to me, and God's going to bless your seed. Show me that in the Bible. Oh, I know they'll take some little something and turn it around and twist it around and try to make it sound, but you show me where God says to send a seed to them, You say, well, preacher, shouldn't we give to the Lord's work? Right here is where you bring your offering of a morning. The Bible doesn't say send it to some TV evangelist out there. He says bring it to the house of God. Every first day of every week, as God has prospered you. You want to know where to bring it? That's where you bring it. That's how you keep the Lord's work moving. Faith is not this idea that this man that wears all these fancy clothes and has all these fancy jetliners and all this, that he can manipulate God. He can't. Number two, faith is not saying, well, you've got to believe like we do to have faith. Faith is in a person, not in a set of beliefs. That person is Jesus Christ. Anyone that is putting their trust in something besides Jesus is not faith, is not true faith. Number three, some people say, well, preacher, as long as the Muslims are sincere, as long as the Jews are sincere, as long as the Christian Scientist is sincere, they are sincerely wrong. They can have faith in their gods, little gods, but there's only one true God, and that's through Christ Jesus. One living heavenly Father, the one that the Word of God tells us about. No other God. Somebody said, well, as long as they have faith, you can have the wrong faith. You can have, the Bible says, even the devils believe and tremble. You can have the faith of the devil, and that won't save you. And last but not least, there's these people who said, well, preacher, I believed, and I just trust God for this. Now listen to me very carefully. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some people believe that just as long as they have their faith that God would do something that they want them to do, that it doesn't matter what the Bible teaches about it, they think God will do it because they have faith to do it. We are guided what to believe and how to believe by the Word of God. Therefore, we have to believe in what the Bible teaches, not just, I could go out here and stand on the bridge and say, I believe God will just rescue me if I jump off that bridge. Well, with 300 plus pounds against nitrogen and oxygen, I will probably splat to water fairly quickly. Could God save me? Yes. But show me where God ever told me to step out and do something like that. That's tempting to God. That is not living by faith. And so therefore, some people have been foolish. And by the way, these people are running around handling rattlesnakes in their face and dancing rattlesnakes. These people drinking poison, strychnine. Fools. Tempting God. Somebody said, well, Mark 16, that's not what he's talking about. What he was talking about was signs of the apostles. That real apostles, that there would be a time when he would send them out into the world and there would be some things that would take place on those apostles, and when it happened, you would know they were real apostles because a snake will not harm them. And you know what happened? Paul went out to preach the gospel to the world. He reached in a wood pile and a viper latched upon his hand, and he shook it off in the fire, and the natives looked at him and was shocked, waiting for him to die. He didn't even swell up. You know why? He was a real apostle. He was one called of God, had miracles. This bunch that runs around shaking rattlesnakes and dancing in the services and being bit, you know the first thing that happens when they get bit? They swell up like a balloon. You know why? They're not real apostles. That's not what God meant for us to do. I'm not going to bring some box of rattlesnakes out here for everybody to grab and dance around and shake to this morning in their faces. That's foolish. That's not what the Bible teaches. You say, well, they're sincere, and they sincerely die when they get bit many times because of what they do. Now, that's what faith is not. Let's talk about what faith is. Look back in your Bible in chapter 11. It's a substance. A substance means something that becomes real. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, the hope we get is from the Word of God. In other words, we are able to stand. We are able to trust. Now, Hudson Taylor, a missionary that went to China, in some of his biography, there's a story told, a true story. He was on a ship, and they were sailing when he was on the mission field, and the captain, they were sailing by wind in the sails, and it all of a sudden becomes calm. And they were right at an island where cannibals were, and they were floating right into those cannibals, and those cannibals were fixing to eat them. And the captain came to Hudson Taylor, and he said, "Would you please pray that God would send a wind?" And Hudson Taylor told him, he said, I'll pray that God sends a wind when you raise your sails and get ready for the wind." The captain said, "I'm not going to do that. I'll look foolish. It's calm." He said, "I'll not pray." Then the captain changed his mind, stuck his sails up. He went down, Hudson Taylor went in to pray down in the boat, and he come knocked on the door, and he said, "Are you still praying for wind?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why don't you quit?" Says, "We got more wind we can handle right now." Within a matter of 5 minutes. Somebody said, "You believe that?" Absolutely. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. In other words, the Word of God tells us that we can pray and ask God for things. And God can, if He wants to give it to you, He can give it to you. He can take it away. Another story was told of George Mueller. Most of you know George Mueller. He had an orphanage. He had ended up having over 2,000 kids. Never asked for a penny to support those kids. And you know what he'd do? He'd pray every day. And he'd pray that God would go ahead and he would provide food and so forth. Sometimes they'd wake up in the morning, have no food, have no milk. He'd go in there and pray, tell the children to sit down at the table and pray, and somebody knock on the door and provide food for them. You say, "How does that happen?" God. Substance, real. One time, George Mueller had a meeting in Quebec, and he was on a ship. And so he told the captain, it was real foggy that day, and he told the captain had slowed down and quit moving. He said, "You've got to go on and get me there. I've never been late in 57 years to a meeting, and God has always got me to every meeting I've ever had on time. And I've got to be there by Saturday afternoon to speak." The captain said, "Look around you. Can't you see how dense the fog is?" And George Mueller told him, he said, "I don't look at the denseness of the fog. I look at the power of my Lord and Savior." And he said, "If you'll not get me there, God will find another way." And he told the captain, he said, "Why don't you come down and go down into the boat and pray with me?" And that captain, he's writing this story, by the way. And he said, "We went down the boat." He said, "I was thinking on the way down there, what kind of lunatic have I got on the boat?" And he said, "We went down there," and he said, George Mueller began to pray. He said, "I thought he'd pray some big, long, drawn-out prayer." And he just prayed a simple prayer, "God, I need you to move the fog so I can make my meeting. You've been faithful to me all these years." Then he got through, and the captain started to pray, and he put his hand on his shoulder. He said, "Don't pray. Number one, you don't believe that God's able to remove the fog. Number two, I've done ask God to remove the fog. And I've lived every day of my life for the last 57 years getting an audience with the King every day for something." He said, "If you'll go on up there, the fog's done gone." And the captain said, "I went up, opened the door and looked up, and the fog was gone." And he was there speaking Saturday night at his meeting without being late. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. In other words, give you an example I use a lot of times. How many of you believe Burnside is a city? Let's see your hands. How many of you don't believe Burnside is a city? You say, "Well, I'd be foolish." How many of you believe heaven's a city? How many of you have ever been to heaven? How many of you have ever seen it? That's faith. You're believing in something that you haven't seen as if it was as real as the city that you drive through every day. That's what heaven is. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it. All you've got to go on is the Bible. The Bible tells you there's a heaven. And so therefore, you, if I was asking you, what does heaven look like? What would you say, Brother Junior? What would you say, tell? Give us an example of something heaven's in heaven. Streets of gold. You say, well, that's foolish. I've never seen streets of gold in my life. I haven't either. How do we know that? The Bible tells us so, right? Do you believe that? I do too. That's faith. So therefore, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, we do that, and we have to understand that there are some things that seems impossible, but it's possible with God. And so therefore, what we need to do is we need to learn to trust in God. How faith. You say, preacher, I don't know what's going to come of this virus. I don't either. But I do know somebody that does. And you know what? I know somebody that can keep you safe. And if he allows you to have it, and that's the way he chooses to take you on out of this world, if you're saved, I can give you the confidence that you'll be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. So you don't have to fear that. You live by faith, not by fear. Now look back in your Bible real quickly. I'm going to close this in a minute, but I want you to see this. Here are the verses we read, and by the way, there's many examples. May preach on one tonight, on Sarah. But there's many examples right here of people who live by faith. Look at three real quickly that he gave us in this scripture in the first seven verses. First of all, it was Abel. Now listen to me. I believe faith, when you have real faith, listen to me, you got to have real faith. I believe real faith caused you to want to come and worship God. The Bible says faith, Abel had faith. And that faith caused him to worship God. I don't have much confidence in people who says, I've got faith, and they never come and want to worship God. Faith ought to cause you to want to worship God. Amen? And so therefore, if you've got faith, you say, preacher, what should we do? Worship God. I had one preacher ask me, he'd done canceled his church. He said, are you having church? I said, yeah. Well, what? I said, I'm not afraid to worship God. Listen, while we're here this morning, if he wants to take a tornado and just wipe us all out, he could do that. Now, I don't have any problem wiping things down, being sterile, doing this and that and the other, and those type of things, but listen to me. I don't have to be afraid to worship God. My faith allows me to worship God, and God wants to protect me. He can protect me. He's got angels. The Bible says he's got angels around you. Even these little kids. Jesus asked a question in Matthew chapter 18. He said, don't you know that her angel is always before the throne of God? That's where the idea of guardian angels came from. That scripture. Because the Bible teaches these little kids has their own angel. That God, that answers to God and tells what's going on. That's why the Bible says it'd be better for you when you stand in front of these children and you cause issues with these children, it's better for you that a millstone was tied around your neck and you'd be cast in sea. These pedophiles got a lot to answer for one of these days. These people that's abused these little kids got a lot to answer for. These doctors that's aborted baby after baby after baby out of the womb got a lot to answer for one of these days. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Not only that, but also notice not only Abel, faith ought to cause you to want to worship God, but look as well, we have the example of Enoch. Enoch lived 365 years, you go back to Genesis. For the first 65 years, he didn't walk with God. He did for the last 300. Why? He had a son called Methuselah, the oldest man to ever live. And the name meant that whenever he died, that God was going to bring the flood. And he, therefore, it showed God's mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, and he waited 969 years before Methuselah died. But the Bible says that Enoch had a testimony that he walked with God, and he translated them and took them out. Listen, if you have faith, you not only ought to worship God, you ought to walk with God. You oughtn't be afraid, because God is with you. Therefore, we don't have to fear what man might do to us. We don't have to fear what may come. We just need to trust God. So faith should cause you to worship God. It should cause you to walk with God. And last but not least, notice Noah, verse number 7. Noah built an ark. Now look here. You know the story. People laughed at him. Said that he's fools. Every tree that he cut down for that ark. Any of you ever been up northern Kentucky to see the ark encounter? Is that not amazing? And to think that they tried to take it from the dimensions in the Bible, you get kind of an idea how big his ark was. And then when you think every tree that he cut down was cut down by faith. You ought to be willing, and faith ought to cause you to want to work for God, to do what he's told you to do. Therefore, our faith, regardless of what's going on around us, ought to allow us to worship God, ought to allow us to walk with God, and ought to allow us to work for God. And therefore, God would take care of the rest. Folks, we need to trust in him. I'm not going to lose one night's sleep over all this stuff. I trust in one that's greater than us. And I thank God that he gives people the knowledge of what to do, how to go about doing things. But I know that he can take care of it any way he wants to, anytime he wants to. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not even saved. Did you know that same faith that we walk by is faith that you have to have in Jesus to be saved? You said, preacher, I don't understand. What do I have to do to be saved? Do I have to, it seems like I need to do something. You have to have faith in Jesus. What he did upon the cross of Calvary, you got to believe it in your heart that he did it. You haven't seen him. You wasn't there. The word of God tells you that, and you just got to trust in it. Do you believe that the Son of God was sent to save you? You must be willing to come to him this morning. Have you ever been saved? Listen, if you're not saved, you have a lot of reasons to be afraid. But one of the least of it is this virus. You need to find him before death finds you. Maybe you need to come this morning, be saved, however God may lead you. Last week, after service, had a young man here. He said, I need to be saved. He got saved. Maybe today God's still in your heart as we stand, give song of invitation.